favorite interviews from the week of December 11, 2022 on the Steph Lucas Show. Here's part of my interview with Dave Workman, journalist. We're talking about Measure 114 passing in Oregon and the amount of lawsuits on the ground from gun rights organizations trying to fight it.
They're unified. They're fighting this thing. Mm-hmm. They've picked their own battle strategies. But they're all on the same side on this, and they're all going really for the jugular. This thing, if this is allowed to stand, mm-hmm. which I don't think it can, mm-hmm. but if it's allowed to stand by the courts, it's going to be bad news for every state in the West, because there mm-hmm. are billionaire-backed gun control organizations
there
all
are.
Over the map. They may not have like 20 members or something, but you know
yeah.
they're going to get the money to finance a public referendum or a public initiative.
Right.
And all they'll do is concentrate on the cities. They'll never try to get any signatures out in the counties, because those people say, "Hey, you know, bugger off, get out,
yeah.
leave me alone." So that's really how they try this. Washington has become really a petri dish, a test tube for
mm-hmm.
a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried all kinds of things, and they learn from that experience what works and what's not going to work. And then that stuff spreads across the map.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I feel kind of sorry for Idaho, because you're bordering on two states that are controlled by lunatics.
Right? That's why I report on news from Washington and Oregon all the time. I'm like, look,
no,
it's not the Steph Lucas Show unless we gossip about the neighbors. I'm like, you're never going to believe this. Or maybe you will, because it's Oregon and Washington, right?
Well, hey, listen, take my advice on this.
Okay.
I want you to put mines in the middle of the Snake River, and I want to see concertina wire from Lewiston all the way to the Canadian border. And I'm the only one who gets a pass.
Yeah, you get a pass. I told you I'd sponsor you. It'd be great to have you over here.
I appreciate it.
Everybody else, I'm like, yeah, build the wall around Idaho. I'll tell you what, I don't know what it is about the mountains and the beach. Those two, if you have either of those in your geographical proximity, you're going to be in a lot of trouble trying to get rid of all the liberals coming to your state, because they love the mountains, they love the water, helps them find themselves or whatnot. I don't know. But then they never go away.
Well, so, you know, with any luck, maybe some of them will be found by a mountain lion or a wolf pack. But yeah, you know, now, really, in all seriousness, and, you know, I know you and I are both tongue-in-cheek here on these things, but
yeah.
in all seriousness, Measure 114 really is a horrible, horrible piece of legislation. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it nearly lost, I mean, less than a percentage point difference, I think, was 50.6 to 49.7
yeah.
or something like
yeah.
that. It was really, really close. That suggests to me that if only, say, 10% of the voters in each county who didn't vote would have turned out to vote.
Right.
The rural counties would have crushed that thing.
See, and this is an excellent lesson in the impact of, as you were telling us about, rural versus your more liberal cities in a
mm-hmm.
really actually conservative state, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
So, yes.
If you look at a map, and I was talking to Kevin Stair last night about that, if you look at a map of Oregon, I think there were only about 5 or 6 counties that actually passed that thing. All the other counties in Oregon turned red and rejected it. They just didn't have the body count at
mm-hmm.
the polls to make it stick. And you know, that's really a sad commentary on the country. Tomorrow, December 15th, is Bill of Rights Day.
Yes, it is.
And you know, we need to remember that we don't have a Bill of Rights if we don't fight for it every day,
right.
24/7, 365.
Here's the thing: it's the Bill of Rights, but it's not self-enforcing. We have to do that part.
Exactly. And part of the responsibility is that we have to show up to vote. And they, you know, they're only asking us to do that once every couple of years.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, what's the matter with you?
Right.
You can't give up a couple of hours to go vote someplace?
Yeah, I know. Get to know the issues.
Yeah.
and then go vote. It's not hard. Half my life was spent describing the issues to people for months before Election Day. And, of course, on Election Day, people call me up and say, Stephanie, can you tell me about the issues? I'm like, what have I been talking about for months? No, do you get that?
I know it.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to have people call, and until the word got around that, hey, I don't recommend, I don't make voting recommendations. I don't do that. It's against the law, really, for the Second Amendment Foundation.
Right. But you still have people call up like, hey, you know everything about politics. Tell me how to vote. Wait a second.
Honestly, there have been times when people approach me, say, at a gun show or something, or hey, who should I vote for? And Don't bother me. Vote for me and I'll send me money to the front.
I'm going to make my own political action committee now. Send me money.
God, that in itself scares me because if people don't understand the issues and if they don't figure out who it is they should vote for, we really are in trouble.
We are in a lot of trouble. I will tell you, historically, before television and professional sports, people paid a lot more attention at the local level, really took their civic duties seriously. That's what's unfortunate in the age of communications, especially digital communications, is there's so many distractions. Of course, before the Civil War took politics so seriously, it would get into these knockdown, drag-it-out brawls. It was like a literal football game trying to get to the ballot box. The other team would try and stop you. But at the same time, that's taking it a little bit, too seriously when there's physical violence every election day. But there's got to be... I think we were at a good point when people, were taking this seriously and were paying attention to the issues.
And, I'll tell you, Steph, the proof positive is that they took the election of 1860 so seriously, we started killing each other.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, I hadn't been born, but if you were there,
I'm a history major. I've read books. There's this really good one.
You're a sweetheart.
Named American Mobbing. It's about all the political and violence in the 25 years leading up to the Civil War. Election Day was literally a contact sport in some places.
Yeah.
So.
And I think the problem with elections today is the lousy internet. You've got social media there. People think that they are sticking up by shooting their mouths off on Facebook
and
Twitter.
You. I say this on my show all the time. Here, you have not done your civic duty just going off on Facebook. Did you vote? No. Sit down.
Well, yeah. And shut up while you're at it.
And shut up while you're at it. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I do. I blame social media for the dumbing down and the spread of apathy across this country, because it's so much easier for these loudmouths out there to sit there behind a fake name.
Yeah.
I'm 44 Magnum. I'm telling you.
Here's a picture of my dog. Yeah.
Yeah. And they sit there in complete anonymity and blow off all this steam, and then they won't get up and actually fill a ballot out.
Exactly.
And it's really heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. In a literal sense, it is heartbreaking to watch people in this country who have really so much at stake, their lives, their families, their homes, their ability to pay their taxes, their ability to, freedom of movement. All of that stuff is always on the line on Election Day, and they don't bother to vote.